Not after that great rendition, no. Good morning. You know, we're just so blessed to be out here today. And as Dan said, you know, with what's going on in the world, you know, just keeping the churches open and keeping in prayer and keeping focused. You know, and we see the signs around us. You know, people talk about a rapture, and we're studying that in Thessalonians right now, and they scoff at that. They scoff at everything pretty much. But, you know, the Scripture tells us otherwise, especially in this day and age, to where the evidence is overwhelming. Overwhelming. Every day you look out here, it's a struggle. It's pain, sorrow, anger, hostility, disrespectful in all aspects. The news is everybody's lying. We got to remember, this is the devil's world. The spirit of the devil is amongst this whole world. Okay, he is the god of this world. So this is what, as Christians, we are battling this. As unbelievers, you're not battling. You're just going along with it. Okay, you're going along with what they tell you and they teach you and they program you for. Because in all honesty, all this is a dress rehearsal, this virus, to the mark of the beast, which will, I guarantee you, will take place. Why? Because the Bible tells us it will take place. 666 is Bill Gates' code for his vaccine stuff. I mean, you know, that's why the Bible is the only truth you have. I mean, people want to go to soothsayers and mediums and card, you know, people that read cards and stuff like that, but they don't go to the actual truth that will tell you exactly what's going on, not only now, but tomorrow, but for eternity. And as we look at 1 Thessalonians here, we're going to begin in 4:13. Okay, Paul is writing to the church of the Thessalonica, or the Thessalonian church, And he's kind of giving them an idea of what's going on at that time, and because they were kind of concerned about, you know, they're talking about a rapture or if it's ever going to come, and they're always doubting, you know, they don't know any better. But Paul explains to them in these verses, and he encourages them, okay, because they thought it already happened. But he says to them in 4:13, he says, "But I do not want you to be ignorant." Okay, he's telling them he doesn't want them to be ignorant or misled or not informed. Brethren, he's talking to the brethren, the believers, concerning those who have fallen asleep or died. Okay, because they're wondering what happened to them. Lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. See, when you're in the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, dying is going home to be with the Lord, okay? You know, as some others, they don't have the Lord Jesus Christ, they're going to sorrow because that's all they know. They sorrow as others, but they've got no hope whatsoever. So they're souring over this people, and they don't know after death or when death occurs. You know, it could come unexpectedly at any given time. But so they're souring as others who have no hope. As an example, my sister and brother-in-law were in town yesterday. They came for a funeral. My sister's sister-in-law, I told you, I don't know, I shared this at the Bible study, but they were up at the cottage, 70 years old, and came into the cottage, grabbed her head, and said, you know, oh my God, and died immediately. And I think it was a brain aneurysm. So what we're seeing here is the reality of everybody had to fly in or whatever, come into this funeral yesterday in Canton. But the reality is, it doesn't matter what age, what who you are, what you are, your status in life. You know, you never know when your number is up down here. Okay. So for if we believe Jesus died and rose again, even so, God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. You know, that's the assurance, blessed assurance that we have. Okay? We're here at church today, okay? Because we believe, okay? You're showing an act of worship. You're showing an act of obedience by coming to church because you believe. Okay? The people in this church right now believe. Okay? And those who sleep, so we know where our resurrection is going to be when we die. Okay? That's very, very important. Okay? The people, why you see empty chairs here is they don't care. They don't believe. They think it's hogwash. And God gives them a free will to believe or not to believe. I mean, it's just that way. The Holy Spirit, which we're going to get into later in the message, controls you, lives inside you, is jealous of possessing you and keeping you from all this stuff. Now, somebody that does not have the Spirit will go and live any way they want to out there. And they will be so seared as sin, they'll just laugh at it. You know, they think of no consequence whatsoever of sin. So they're going to live any way they want. So what's good about this is even so, God will bring them with Him who sleep in Jesus. So absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. I mean, it's a glorious thing that everybody on this planet should take seriously. The term sleep to a Christian means died. It means the resurrection of the body. Just as a sleeping person expects to wake up in the morning. You're tired, you go to bed at night, you expect, well, you know, hey, I'm going to go to bed. You know, most people don't think about, hey, I'm going to die in my sleep tonight. They're not thinking about that. They're thinking about waking up the next day and what am I going to do today? I got to go to work. I got to do this. I got to pay bills. But so they're expecting to go to sleep. But then again, that's probably the best way to die, I would say. It's in your sleep, right? I mean, you know, my mom and dad went that way. I think that's a good thing, you know. So, hey, I hope I go that way. Or the rapture, Lord, whichever way you want to go about it. But so we're looking at the term sleep is the resurrection of the body. Just as sleeping, a sleeper expects to wake up or rise in the morning. Christians who have died will experience a bodily resurrection and will rise again. You know why? Because God tells us this. God says when we die, we will rise again, you know. And we're not to fear it, you know. People fear so many things down here, you know. And they fear death. I mean, I don't fear death. I just don't want to be here when it happens. I mean, I'm just kidding. but I'm just trying to say that they live with this fear, and it consumes them, you know. Hey, there's no way out of it, you know. If anything, we need to embrace it and know that the Lord has got us. He's got us. He really does. He's got us. He just wants us to be obedient to the fear of God and keep His commandments. Okay? Because we will rise again. And we will, for the deceased believers, is to be out of our body, out of our physical body, will be at home with the Lord. Okay? So we're in a body right now that's just a tent that houses our spirit. Okay, when these bodies that we need, new bodies, die and decay and rot, whether you be buried or whether you be cremated, it doesn't matter. God is going to resurrect that, because you know they, you know, people get cremated because they can't afford $10,000-$20,000 funerals. Okay, so it doesn't really matter because you're not here anyway. Whether you be in the box or cremated, or you know, even back in the day, they threw you a trash dump called Gehenna. You know, that's all these bodies are. We're housing these bodies. Be with the Lord. See, the cause of the Thessalonians' grief was related to the misunderstanding that the dead Christian would miss the events and blessings associated with the Lord's coming. Like I said, they thought it was already happened or they're going to miss that. No, it has not happened yet. You know, it could have happened back in that time period. No doubt about it. But, you know, by the Lord's long suffering, it has not. Okay? Paul corrected this misunderstanding by teaching that the dead in Christ will rise first. Okay? To the unbelievers who grieve over the loss of loved ones, Christians who grieve over a fellow believer can do so with the hope of his future resurrection. See, there's a big difference when you go to a believer's funeral and a non-believer's funeral. Okay? Okay? You go to a believer's funeral, it's more of a celebration because you know where they're at. You know, that's why there's extreme sorrow at an unbeliever's funeral, because they don't know where they're at. Okay? So that's the difference. And that's the sad story of it all. They don't have, you know, what we have, and that's why they sorrow. Okay? You know, for we say this to be to you by a word from the Lord, who are still alive at the Lord's coming. Okay, we will not precede those who have fallen asleep. The word Paul speaks about is the word rapture. Okay, rapture is another term. Greek word is rapturo. Okay, where believers who are alive at the Lord's coming are caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. The Greek term means to snatch away suddenly. Paul referred to this event as a mystery that was now revealed. Okay, so what does that mean? People don't want to really understand what that means. Is at any given time, right now, tomorrow, next week, 2 months from now, 5 years from now, a year from now, it doesn't matter, or a minute and a half from now, I'll even go that far. What he's trying to say is we'll be taken away at the moment's notice. Okay, disappearing, and calamity will break loose. The Holy Spirit will be taken out of this world. Okay, that's why they're trying to blame this stuff on the, they're trying to get this, you know, if you read into it, the aliens, everybody's into alien possession, and they say they're bringing it out more. Okay, they're trying to get something to define exactly what's going to happen. And you know, the earth dwellers that are on this earth, you know, they're into that. Okay, they will easily go with, hey, you know, well, maybe there's alien abductions. That's why they're out of here. Well, and they got the graves. They're all ripped apart. They're blown apart. They're all gone. And they're going to dismiss this as something to that effect, because you got no other explanation but what the Bible says. The Bible says you're out of here, you're out of here. And they're not going to want to believe that. They'll believe a lie. They're going to believe this God-forsaken world instead of the Creator, okay? So what we're going to look at, the rapture could occur at any moment, even during our lifetime. Okay, it says mystery. Mystery means some previously hidden truth. Previously hidden truth is what the word mystery means. In 1 Corinthians, it says, it will happen in the twinkling of an eye. So fast, you know, don't blink or you're going to miss it. We who are still alive implies that Paul thought the rapture could occur at any moment, even during his lifetime, which we talked about earlier. This is thousands of years ago that he's talking about this stuff, and it could have happened back then. Okay? But I like this passage here, as we're going to look at 2 Peter. 2 Peter is a great passage where Peter is saying, talking to us. 2 Peter 3:8. This is awesome. It says, but beloved, do not forget that one thing, that with the Lord, one day is a thousand years with the Lord, and a thousand years is one day. Can you take that in for a second? I mean, we're trying to, these days are whipping by so fast, we don't even know what year it is. I mean, I thought it was 1998 a week ago. I mean, nobody really knows what is going on. It's like the Matrix, because it's so fast. But the Lord is so, he operates outside of time. When he says, do not forget, he says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Okay? So, he's a very, very patient God. That's why as we see this world get uglier and uglier, you know, it's just like, oh, Lord, why ain't you doing anything? Why won't you step in? Why is, they ask questions, if he's such a good God, why is he allowing all this stuff to happen, okay? It all goes back to the word S-I-N is why it is. And without his spirit, the spirit that exists in today's day and age is demonic, evil, and it's a satanic spirit. As with the Antichrist, the spirit of the Antichrist is out there as well. So as we look at this passage, he's very, very long-suffering, that more people will come to Christ. Okay? And that's exactly what I believe too, is it's just that he's just, You know, I think it's going to get completely, obviously, worse, but it's going to get worse and worse and worse. And Peter is saying God views time differently, okay, than human beings, okay, because we operate on a watch. You know, right now it's 11:43 right now on our time. With God, there's nothing, there's no time, is what he's saying. Christ will return in accordance with his divine timetable. Only the Father knows, not ours. The Lord has not yet returned because he is patient with us and he doesn't want any to perish. And what? Go to hell. Okay? You, in this verse, when he's talking about this verse, is a reference to all. All come to repentance. He wants everybody to come to repentance. Why? Because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Okay? But the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. On that day, the heavens will pass away with a loud noise. The elements will be burned up and dissolved. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of people should we be? Before I go into the next part, if we think about Noah during that time period with the ark, okay, you know, they were scoffing in this. And one thing you got to give them back in that time period is it never rained. I mean, so you're going to run around telling people that it's going to rain, and it's never rained. But long-suffering. Noah, you know, there's only a couple. You know, obviously his sons and his wife or something. But Noah believed. And it was, you know, he believed. Just like Abraham believed, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. But over time, you know, it's just like God gives so much time and time. And you know, back in that day, they're probably saying, you know, that's never going to happen. Until that, you know, and it took, I think, over 120 years to build the ark, I think. And we went and saw that with Helmut and Gene, I think, a year ago. But it was just a massive thing. But can you imagine over 120 years of slowly building something and stuff going on, business as usual? Okay, nobody even had a thought until God, not Noah, not nobody else, closed that door. And that's when it was going down. So we know that that day is approaching. If it was approaching back then, if you can see it approaching now, by far, you got more signs than you know what to do with. And he says, therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner should we be? What are we talking about here? What manner should we be as Christians right now? How should we act? How should we view what's going on? That's so important to our testimony right now. You know, we should be in holy conduct. Okay? We were talking about this today at the morning meeting. And with Dan, Helmut, Ray, the hymns that were passed out this morning, David said this, you know, exactly right. To be focused, you know, at that morning meeting, the worship, church being open because of holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming day of the Lord. So we know this day is coming. So this is how we should be prepared, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, it'll be on fire, okay? And the elements will melt with what? Fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to not our promise or the world's promise, according to whose promise? According to God's promise. His, you know, we're reading right here, according to his promise, okay? Not our promise, not the world's promise, not the government's promise, the Lord's promise, okay? Nevertheless, according to his promise, look for a new heavens. That's exactly what's down the road. A new heavens and a new earth in which what? Righteousness dwells, okay? This is not righteousness. The next life, okay? You know, I always tell people this, you're going to be dead longer than you're going to be alive. Some people think they're going to live back in Bible, you know, down the road they will, but not now. But they think they're going to go to 150, 180 years old and jump around, with jump ropes down here. I mean, I don't know what to tell you about that one, guy. They want to be Jack LaLanne and double that age or whatever. I don't know what to say about that. But that's obviously not going to be happening. So what does he tell us to do? He says, "Be on your guard so that your minds," right there. Look at the scripture. Your minds are not dulled. Okay? When we go about our daily walk out there in the world, you know, he doesn't want us to be ignorant. He doesn't want our minds to be dulled out. Okay? Because if you get complacent, you know, that's where the devil's going to try to say, hey, you know, get with the program out here. You know, I look at this world, like the brother said this morning, I mean, we're in just fighting and arguing, and you're wicked people and just rotten. You know, we're in this world, but not of this world. And I look at it the same way as the struggle is. Let's say you're addicted to sugar, and every day you got to get out of bed and go work at a candy store every day, or work at a bakery. You know, you want to sit in there for 8 hours and deal with that, and you're addicted to it. The Spirit, you know, greater is He that is in us than he that is in this world. Plain as day. Okay? Okay. So, he does not our minds to be dull from carousing, drunkenness, and the what? Worries of life. You know, it says over and over again, he says not to worry about nothing. You know? I was telling witnessing somebody about, oh, I'm so worried about this and my job and my health and dying and going to the hospital and going to the doctors and this and that. I said, hey, the Lord says, don't worry about tomorrow. Let tomorrow worry about itself. And if Jesus himself is going to say, don't worry, you know what? I'm not going to worry. All I got to do is work every day, go home, go to church, and wait to die like everybody else. But is worrying going to add one day more to my life? Is it? No. Be joyful. Be happy. Be laughing. Talk to the brothers and sisters and have joy. You know, when I talk to all my brothers and sisters in the Lord, we laugh. You know, hey, what's going on? You know, cut down watching the news. That's in what's on the television. That's a great tip right there. Read the Bible. Read books or something like that. And worries of life on that day will come unexpectedly, like a trap will come on all who live on the face of the earth. He's talking about this rapture, where the earth dwellers will remain. But be alert at all times. And what does he say? Praying. Praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. That's all that's important. Right there, it is dying and standing before Almighty God. And like we heard earlier, you want to hear the words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You don't want to hear, you barely made it. And you definitely don't want to hear these words, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. You never want to hear those. That's not even an option. You don't want to have Jesus say to you, I never knew you. You don't want to hear that. That day refers to the time of Christ's return. Those caught up in a worldly lifestyle will be caught up off guard when Christ comes back. And as we learned earlier, the proper way to go about this is to be vigilant, okay, be prayerful, be ready, be watchful. Doing so will prepare the believer to stand and not be ashamed before the Son of Man and His return. You know, just like the scoffers, it's like, you know, where's His, you know, they always question where's this coming? You know, they haven't seen it. Revelation 13:8 talks about worshiping the beast. All those who live on the earth dwellers, will worship the beast, and everyone whose name was not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, who was slaughtered. You know, it goes on and on and on. You know, I was doing a little bit of the research about the Wiccans. You know, the earth worshippers. You know. They say they're good witches, bad, whatever. They're ungodly to the max. I mean, they worship the planet Earth, and they do spells and this and that. But they're part of that Earth dwelling system that they will be here. The verse explains why the Earth dwellers worship the beast. The absence of their names from the Book of Life which contains the names of those who will be spared the lake of fire at the last judgment. That's exactly what that is. Jesus himself said in Matthew 24, "But about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father." God, so we know that God is in complete control. Only he knows that. The unbelieving had every opportunity. You know, God gives everybody an opportunity to get right with him. Every soul, up until the age of accountability, he's given every opportunity to believe, and they wanted no part of it. Okay? In eternity, they will have no part of God. Atheists who would go to heaven when they die would be uncomfortable there. That's something that they didn't believe in. That's something that they didn't want. Okay? Proverbs 29 says, "He that is often reproved and hardeneth his neck will suddenly be destroyed, and that is without remedy." What does that mean? At the end of God's patient call to obedience comes sudden judgment against the obstinate. Obstinate means stubborn, refusing to change one's opinion or chosen course of action despite attempts to persuade one to do so. You know, there's going to be only so many times God's going to keep trying to woo you, convict you, okay? Jude 17 says, "But you, dear friends, remember what was predicted by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, that they told you in the end time there will be scoffers living according to their own ungodly desires. These people create divisions and are worldly, not having the Spirit." So the Proverbs is a scary passage, you know. Because, you know, people always go about, "Oh, he's preaching to me again. He's witnessing to me. He's trying to talk to me again about this. I don't want to hear this stuff." You know, you get multiple people trying to tell somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ and they completely just reject it. You know what it's talking about? Sudden destruction. It could be a car accident. It could be a heart attack. It could be a brain aneurysm. It could be whatever. You know, I think that's God's anger showing right there. You know, false teachers are nothing new that are out and about in the world. We were talking earlier about heresies, heretics, because the apostles have foretold of such people who scoffed at those who refused to follow them. These heretics created divisions and followed their ungodly desires as people who were worldly. They did not have the Spirit. We just read that. Proverbs 29, I love this passage right here. It says, "The fear of mankind is a snare, but the one who trusts in the Lord is protected." Yep. I like that passage. A snare can be fatal, unexpectedly. Fear is literally sheer terror. A wise person does not fear mortal man. The only one to fear is the Lord, who is able to protect or destroy. I love this one as I'm getting ready to close up here. 1 John has got great, great doctrine right now in 1 John. 1 John 2:15 says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." And as we look at this, the things in the world are not just material objects. John warned against what the body desires, what the eyes itch to see, and what people work hard to acquire. These are not from the Father, but from the world. And then James 4:4 backs that up. "Adulterers and adulteresses, do not you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? The Spirit that is in us yearns jealously," okay, the Holy Spirit, "for us. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble." What does that mean right there? It's just that he's trying to say is the Holy Spirit that possesses us doesn't want us to be a part of that world system. You know, we're here, we're with the Lord on one end and we got our arm around the world on the other. And he's want nothing to do with that. The enmity. Right now, Satan's spirit is in this world. It controls the world. And Satan is the enemy of God and of mankind. Okay, so he hates God and he hates us. Okay, so Ephesians 2 says, "According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who is now, who's the spirit who now works in the sons of what? Disobedience, among whom we all once conducted ourselves. Okay? We were once that way, in the lusts of our flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others. What's he saying? We used to be like that. Not no more. Okay? Simply put, human beings became hopelessly lost in sin with no way out. Okay? And there's one cure for that. There's only one and one only. And we were witnessing that this morning meeting. There's only one person that could take away sin. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ for each and every one of us. No animal sacrifice. No being good. No this. No that. Spirituality. Prophecy. Simply put, human beings became hopelessly lost in sin with no way out. And this is why God, in His great love for us, sent the Lord Jesus Christ to die for us. And by accepting Him, we will have eternal life. I mean, it doesn't get no better than that. So as we came across these passages today, it just keeping in the Word and trusting in the Lord in all things. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding in all your ways. Not some of your ways, not a few of your ways. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. And what will He do? He will direct your path in life. And He'll lead us right out of here too, in the way I look at it. He will lead us right in this time. Because these are precedented times that we are living in. Nobody's ever seen this before. I mean, and this could, I don't know how long this is going to keep going on, but it's like, it's collapsed everybody, and it's a big nightmare. So, if anything, this is more of a time to get closer to the Lord. And I really believe people are coming back to church more and getting into the world, which is a great thing. I mean, that's what the Lord wants. He wants us to lean on Him and trust Him in all things, and He will see us through it. So, Father, we just thank You for this time together that we have a church to go to, Lord. We thank You for these church doors being open. We thank You for everybody that came out today, Lord. Bless each and everybody out in this church today, Lord. We're blessed. Continue to give us wisdom, Lord, with the Holy Spirit. Thank You for blessing our health, Lord. Thank You that we don't have this disease. We pray for others that do or are struggling, or we pray that they would get into the Word and trust You. Replacing anybody's fear with faith, Lord, is the golden thing to do with You. And we know that You've got us down here, Lord. And, you know, Psalm 91 says we're protected always by Your hand, Lord. It's such a blessing to know that. And just, you know, Lord, we just thank You again for this church, Lord. And we lift up the ministry right now, Lord. We lift up the kids' club. We lift up Jasmine and her mother. We just think about that briefly right now, Lord, that David's, you know, that she doesn't have a number now. We don't know what's going on with that, Lord. Cannot contact her, but we just pray that we could. And we just pray for doing a ministry around this neighborhood, Lord, trying to get the bus actually fired up again, Lord. And we pray for Pablo's ministry, too. They're going to get going again out there, Lord. That's a good thing, Lord. So, but just keep us going, and we thank You that You've brought us here tonight, today, and just bless our time as we go home in safety, Lord. Bring us back on Wednesday. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.